If you would, in a psalm, Psalms 23. We preached a funeral message yesterday from this psalm. I've never preached a funeral message from psalm. I'd kind of have always steered away from it because a lot of people use the 23rd psalm in their eulogies and in their thoughts and in their little prayer cards that they hand out and whatever. But God just impressed that message on my heart yesterday. I want to thank the men that pray in the back here before the services. You don't know what a help that is to the service. You don't know what a difference it makes to me, and I thank you for praying. Yesterday I had some men praying. I had men of God all over the place that were praying. And we knew that we would need much prayer. And the power of God was in that place yesterday. And that power of God spoke to hearts yesterday, and we're thankful for that. But it spoke to my heart about something here in the 23rd Psalm. Let's stand this morning if you have found Psalm 23. As we reverence and honor the reading of God's word. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Brother Jim Cato, if you'll look back with me for one moment in verse number 4, the psalmist says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." David, being a man such as you and I, subject to all the problems in life that you and I are subject to, was aware of how important his relationship with his shepherd, his Savior, his God, was in his life. David went through many things in his life that the Bible tells us about as a young man tending his father's sheep. I believe we can see when Samuel came to anoint a new king that all were about the house but David. David was the one who was out tending the sheep. David was accustomed to work. David was accustomed to being the one maybe put off on. We can see in David's life that he was sometimes empowered by God and strengthened by God to do the things that he did. He slew a lion and a bear with his bare hands. He slew a giant with a stone and a sling and cut the giant's head off with his own sword. We can see the power of God upon David in his life. We can see David as he was put upon by Saul and as he was hunted down because of jealousy and envy. And he spent much time living in sparse and hard conditions. We can even see the time when David's men turned against him and they wanted to stone him. And David strengthened himself in the Lord. He knew the importance of a close walk with God. We can see David, just as we are subject to sin. Any here who haven't sinned? I didn't think so. We criticize sometimes the men and women that we read about in the Word of God, but our lives are no different. Our sins are no different. There's no big sins and little sins in God's Word. The Bible talks about sin and the sins of the people in plural. Amen? Our sin does so easily sometimes beset us. And David found that true in his own life. As we see when he committed adultery and caused the murder of an innocent man in the account of himself and Bathsheba, we can see that David got in himself and he sinned when he numbered the people, and God brought retribution upon Israel because of David's sin. David was a man like as we are, and he was prone to sin. We can see David as he glories in the things of God, and as he glories in the Word of God, as he glories in the presence of God, as he glories in the hope of God, and we realize and we know that we have the same privilege, we have that same ability within ourselves to glory in the Lord. That's why I'm here this morning. I want to glory in Jesus. Amen. And I hope you do too. But David also knew that the day would come when he would have to pass through Death Valley, when he would have to go where no one wants to go. And as he penned the 23rd Psalm, it was a reminder of the times that God had been faithful to him and how good God had been to him and how God had watched over him. And he was confident that even to the grave, God would be there with him. I thank God for that hope. I thank God for that peace. I thank God that our church members who have experienced that this week have that hope and that confidence in the passing of their loved ones and in their own lives, that they can be as David when his child was taken because of his sin. He said, I can't bring the child back to me. He said, but I can go to where the child is gone. Amen. David realized that his hope had to be centered in the Lord. And in verse number 4, there's a word that struck out. A word that jumped out yesterday as we preached this funeral. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That word through is an important word. That word through has affected our lives, and it affects our future. It affects our eternity. That word through, we read past it. We read through it and we don't stop and give it some consideration. Do you realize why we have to walk through this world in this low land of sin and sorrow as pilgrims looking for a city whose builder and maker is God? It's because of what we have inherited through the sins of our forefather. Through sin, We have been cursed with the curses that we have in this world through sin. We have been cursed with the loss of loved ones through sin. We have seen drugs and alcohol and other things, other addictions steal our loved ones, steal our families, and steal our friends. It's through sin that we see that the devil has just manifested himself and is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger, and it seems he's having the dominance and dominion in this world. But praise God, I'm glad I still hold to God's hand. Amen. In Romans chapter number 5, the Bible says, therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Folks don't understand the importance of the gospel. We live in a world that is completely immune to anything that upholds a godliness and Christianity and righteousness any longer. I do believe people don't even have a concept or a clue about why we need Jesus. Because through the offense of one, we all have been made partakers of his sin. Through the offense of one. Do you realize that through your actions, you have an effect on others besides yourself? Through the things that you say, through the things that you do, through the things that you exhibit in your life, you have an effect on other people's lives. No greater effect was had on any life than was had when man sinned in the garden. And through the sin of one, we have all been made partakers. We have all been made sinners. We have all been made unclean. We have all been made unrighteousness in the sight of God. Through the offense of one. We are all sinners. We are all separated from God because of sin. We all stand in need of a Savior. There's none righteous, no, not one. And besides that, if you think you're righteous and if you think you're good, the Bible says that all our righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rags. Sin has tainted everything through the offense of one. Sin has concluded that we are all under sin through the offense of one. Sin has had dominion over us in this world due to the offense of one. And through the offense of one, we were all made sinners. But praise God, he didn't leave us there. Praise God through Jesus. Amen. We have hope. Praise God through Jesus. Our loved ones that have gone before us, that know Jesus as their Savior. Amen. have died with hope. Praise God, those of us that know Jesus as our Savior, I can die with hope. I not only live with hope, but I can die with hope. I can not only rejoice in His hope, but praise God, I can die in His hope. I can not only worship in His hope, but praise God, I can leave this world in that hope because of what Jesus has done. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to go through the valley of the shadow of death, there's only one way you're going to go, and it's through Jesus. How can that be? Tell me about that. What difference does it make? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In Christ Jesus our Savior, we have eternal life. In Christ Jesus our Savior, we have hope. Our sin debt was paid by His suffering and precious blood that was shed. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory. Now, before I read the rest of that verse, they're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. He says, for whom are all things? It all belongs to Him. Amen. Amen. I want you to understand the Jesus that we're talking about. It's not the Jesus that you're thinking about. It's not the Jesus that you have in mind, but it's the Jesus that the Bible is telling us about. It's the Jesus who was there. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. It's all His, and it all belongs to Him. And by whom are all things? He spoke a world into existence. His hands formed man into His own likeness and His own image. It was He who breathed in man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We're talking about the God Almighty. We're talking about the Holy One of Heaven. We're talking about God's perfect Lamb and God's perfect sacrifice, His Son, that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. The wages of sin is death. But praise God, He sent His Son. He sent Jesus, God's only Son, the third part of the Godhead. He sent Jesus, who became a little lower than the angels. He sent Jesus, who owned it all, who made it all, and who claims it all, to suffer for our sins, and that through His sufferings, we might be made whole. We might be saved. And we might have confidence in the salvation that we have. Because you see, every other god that man worships requires man to do something for his own deliverance. It requires man to do something for his own salvation. It requires man to do what man can't do. I can never be good enough. I can never give enough. I can never be holy and righteous and sinless enough. But God, in giving His only Son to take my place, God, in giving His only Son to pay my sin debt, that through His sufferings I might be saved. Bless me. And He's blessed you. And He's blessed this world with a treasure greater than what the world could ever esteem. Amen. Through his suffering, I understand and I know that the penalty and the price of my sin has been weighed out against him and placed upon him. And through his death, I know that my sin debt has been paid. Read on down a little further in Hebrews, if you're there, in verses 14 to 17. It says, "For as much then as children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil," hallelujah, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Through his suffering, he paid the debt that I owe. Through his death, he paid the penalty of sin in my life. And through his death, he's defeated the devil. Through his death, the chains of bondage have been set free to those who will trust him and those who will claim him as their Savior. If you want to go to heaven, the only way that you can go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. You won't go to heaven through your religion. You won't go to heaven through your goodness. You won't go to heaven through anything else that you can think of. The only way that you will go to heaven is through Jesus. Because he suffered in your place. Because he died in your stead. The Bible says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." Through his suffering, through his blood, and through his death, your debt of sin has been paid. You can have hope in that bondage that the devil had upon you has been broken. You say, "How can I know this to be true?" I tell you, through his resurrection. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming." Through his suffering and death, through his burial, he died, was placed in a tomb, he was dead. He died in your place. He died in your stead. He died because of your sins. But praise God, he arose. He arose. And through that resurrection, we have confidence. We have confidence in the sacrifice that had been made. We had confidence in the debt that had been paid. Because he arose, Paul said, he became the first fruits. He was the first one to show us that the devil had been defeated and that death had been conquered. Praise his name. Through Jesus, though we walk through this valley of this low land, this sinful place, we can have hope. Through Jesus, we can know that we can go through this valley. Here's the point. Here's the message. The psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley. He didn't say that I was going into the valley. Why? Because he walked with the Lord. The Lord was his shepherd. The Lord was his salvation. The Lord had restored his soul. The Lord had made him whole. The Lord had brought salvation into David's life. And David's life was resting in what the Lord had done. And he knew when it came time, he wasn't going to go into Death Valley. But he was going through Death Valley. Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've never accepted his suffering, his death, and his resurrection as the payment of your sin and the assurance of what he's done and what he said. If you die, you won't pass through Death Valley. Death Valley will go through you. It will claim you. It will destroy you. And it will hold you until the final day of judgment, when all souls will stand before the great white throne judgment, and the books will be searched, and your name won't be found written there. And you'll hear those words, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness, into the lake of fire, where there's going to be wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be suffering for all of eternity. David said, I'm going through. Without Jesus, you're going in. The problem is we live in a society and we live in a time where everybody thinks they're going to go around. There's a way around this. There's a way to beat this. There's a way I can get over here somehow. You see, we live in a society, we live in a time when everybody's trying to get over instead of trying to get in. They're trying to get over on Jesus instead of trying to get into him. They're trying to get over in the church instead of getting in the church. Amen. They're trying to get over on the parents and pretending that they're Christians and everything's all right, knowing that they're going to die and split hell wide open. They're trying to get over on the pastor, making him think, well, I've done this good thing, I've done this and I've done that. The pastor knows everything's going to be all right. That's all right, you can get over on me, but you won't get over on Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're not going to go around. Some have tried to cheat death. Michael Jackson had a physician on hand at all times. He was a germaphobe. He thought that he could preserve life and he could circumvent death and he could get around it. And he found out that wasn't so. Howard Hughes, a multi-billionaire, he thought he could circumvent death. And he had a whole suite in a hotel set up. And it had purified air. And no one could come in without being purified and cleaned and certified that they were germ-free before they even approached him and came near him. And guess what? One night the death angel came and Howard Hughes went into the valley of death. He couldn't get around it. Friends, we think we're going to beat it, and we're not going to beat it. Kenny Baldwin said something the other night. How many never heard Brother Kenny Baldwin? You never heard Brother Kenny Baldwin? How many have never heard Brother Kenny Baldwin? You ought to look him up sometime. We'll have him. He'll be here. But he said something the other night. He said, you know, we spend a whole lot of time of praying for Christian people that are sick to keep them out of heaven. But do we spend time praying for the lost to get them into heaven? If we spend as much time praying for the lost as we do praying for the sick that we know are going to heaven, think about what a difference it would make in this world. But you see, friends, we're not going to cheat death. We're not going to get around that time in our life. We're not going to circumvent it in any way. We got two choices. Sister Jessie, in a few days, would have been 93 years old. She couldn't escape it. Our granddaughter died in heart surgery. 33 days old. She couldn't escape it. You see, we don't know when we're going into the valley. But we can know that we're going to go to that valley. There's no going around it in any way. And you're either going into it or you're going through it. The only way you're going through it is if Jesus is the shepherd of your soul. If Jesus is your Savior. If Jesus is the one you are dependent upon for your righteousness, because my righteousness is nothing. My righteousness is in Christ Jesus. My salvation is in Christ Jesus. My holiness is in Christ Jesus. My sanctification is in Christ Jesus. And there's nothing in me that's going to take me through the valley of death. But praise God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He said, thou art with me. He was going through because his Savior was taking him through. Friend, you're going to come to that valley. Teenagers say, well, you know, little babies die and, you know, old people die. Let me tell you about a friend of ours. She was 16 years old. My son Aaron was in love with her, had been in love with her for a long time, would probably have married her if he could have. She was Calvin's niece. Went out for a ride one day. 16 years old. Hit by another car. Broke her neck. And she was ushered into eternity. You say, oh, Pastor, you're just trying to scare us. No, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Some of us die young. Some of us die old. And some of us will die in between. But we'll not circumvent that journey to that valley. Question is this morning, are you going through or are you going to?